One. But how many years? The term length and limits were still being debated by the committees, but a 7-year term seemed most likely. 7 years. Almost twice as long as the main campaigns in the war against the Empire. Those years had been the most terrifying, heartbreaking, meaningful, and exhilarating of Leia's life. Was she going to spend twice as much time trapped behind a desk? Once the final visitors for the day seemed to have left, Leia leaned her chair back so far she was practically reclining. When Corey came in and saw her, the girl smiled.
Want me to bring in a cushion so you can put your feet up?
If you do that, I'll fall asleep. And if I fall asleep, that means I'll go a whole day without leaving this place. No thanks.
It's been a big day, I guess.
The first of many to come. Are you sure you're ready?
If you are,
Corey replied, obviously meaning it as a sign of solidarity. But Leia, again, had to ask herself if she was ready for this, or if she even could be. Yet she knew in her heart that the war only seemed wonderfully thrilling in retrospect. So many of the exploits she now thought of as adventures had, at the time, been terrors. The Empire's discovery of the Hoth base, the ambush on the forest moon of Endor, the attack run on the first Death Star. Leia wouldn't give up her memory of any of them, but she wasn't sure she would have relived a single second. Well, maybe the time Han had run through the ice tunnels of Hoth to rescue her. She told herself that what she had been doing then would be very much the same as her role as first senator were she elected, because she would be doing her duty. If you only did your duty when it suited you, then you weren't actually putting duty first at all. Leia knew that, believed it, and accepted it. Didn't make her duty any more enjoyable.
Your Highness?
C-3PO peered through the door. Leia was about to tell him to ask any more visitors to come back tomorrow when he added,
Lady Carice Sindian to see you.
Right. The documents about the governorship on Beeren. Send her in. Leia straightened just in time for Lady Carice to sweep in wearing her latest ornate gown. Lady Carice, leaving already?
As you said, Princess Leia, the inauguration takes some time. So, better to begin early.
Lady Carice set out the hollows to be verified with Leia's thumbprint, her self-satisfaction so obvious it made Leia itch. Might as well have a bit of fun with this, she decided. It's probably as good a time as any to be away from the Senate. Leia spoke idly, almost absent-mindedly as she went through the verifications. Looks like the centrists won't have a candidate to field for quite some time. Lady Carice's deep golden skin did not blush easily, but the faintest reddening of her cheeks was enough to tell Leia she'd struck home.
I feel confident our senators will soon reach consensus.
I share your confidence. It's not as if 5 or 6 or even 10 centrists were fighting it out to be the candidate. Leia knew the number was at least that large and likely to grow. The centrists were so power-hungry that none of their leaders could pass up the opportunity to wield the greatest power for themselves. After all, yours is the party that values control. What better proof of that can there be than self-control? This time, Lady Carice couldn't even reply, either from embarrassment or from exasperation. Surely even she saw the irony, though. The bickering populists had instantly and wordlessly agreed on a candidate, while the centrists couldn't find their own center. The more I think about it, the more I think a first senator might not be a terrible idea, Leia concluded as she verified the final document, pushed it across to Lady Carice, and smiled. Otherwise, our fellow senators could run around in useless circles forever, couldn't they?
Certainly, it's time for a change.
That was as much as Lady Carice could manage.
Thank you, Your Highness.
My pleasure. Leia gave her a little wave as she went out the door.
Destination, ma'am?
Asked the pilot. This was a courtesy, not a necessity. He would have filed his charted course days ago. Lady Carice approved of the formalities.
Theron, the capital city spaceport.
Aye, ma'am.
Lady Carice would normally have gone directly to her cabin, but today, she followed the pilot to the control room. If her presence surprised him, he was too well-mannered to reveal it. He flew a top-of-the-line vessel, befitting a royal journey, and as such, every area of the ship displayed streamlined elegance. Even in the control room, the piloting controls had been tapered down to thin, shining panels. The transparent bubble around them revealed a full hemisphere of the starry sky beyond. She could imagine stepping into air, into space itself, and floating free.
If I weren't royal and a senator, I might have enjoyed being a pilot.
But Lady Carice caught herself. What a silly thing to wish for. Anyone who could be royal would be. Anyone, that was, except for Princess Leia Organa. How could the princess value her position so little? Given that she'd been adopted into the nobility to begin with, should she not be more grateful? More honored? Not less? Certainly her behavior had turned common, mocking the perfectly ordinary political process of choosing a candidate. The centrists weren't behaving badly. They were behaving normally. So how had the populists managed to behave well? By having no other leaders worth the naming, of course. The populists had realized their benches were filled with the petty and the fractious, and promptly seized upon Leia Organa as their only viable option. The centrists, however, had a wealth of potential candidates. Soon, the strongest would assert himself, and the race could begin in earnest. Her transport eased deeper into space, freeing itself from the pull of Hosnian Prime's gravity. As the far moon passed out of view, the pilot said,
"Prepare for the leap to hyperspace on my mark. 3, 2, 1, and..."
The ship shuddered. The stars elongated. Lady Carice caught her breath as they slipped into hyperspace and left everything else behind. No matter how often she traveled through space, that thrill never left her. Cheered, she nodded toward the pilot and headed to her luxurious quarters, where her droid would already be preparing tea. Not even Princess Leia's attitude would ruin this glorious journey for her, nor her love of the political process. Let the populists have their day to laugh and point. Another day was coming, brighter and better. A day when the galaxy would again be rightly governed, and the strength of the centrist worlds would be revealed like a sword finally being pulled from its scabbard. And Lady Carice would be one of those who brought that day to dawn. Chapter 12. No espionage in the Senate offices. Check. So Joff acted mildly surprised when his superior officer told him Senator Organa had requested him for a routine flight on the Mirrorbright, perhaps to train as a backup pilot. More surprising was when he and Greer actually took the ship into orbit. But of course that made sense. Their story had to check out. As soon as the Mirrorbright had entered the upper atmosphere, however, the princess said, "Okay, let's hear it." Joff had thought they'd go into the main room, but instead, Senator Organa took the auxiliary chair and sat with them at the controls. "What did you find?" The words gushed from Joff before he could even think about checking them.
"Daxum 4 is the place for sure. On the Outer Rim. There's some group there called the Amaxines who are mixed up with all of this somehow, and..."
His voice trailed off as he realized that in his enthusiasm, he had just stepped all over Greer's report. She raised one of her angular eyebrows at him, and he thought,
"You have got to stop trying so hard."
You explain the rest, Greer."
"There's not much else to explain," Greer said dryly, "except that whoever these Amaxine guys are, they're bad news. Pilots who have spent their whole careers running spice don't like to tangle with them. They oversee shipments coming in and out of Daxum 4. Couldn't get confirmation on the likely cargo, but it's definitely illegal. and operating on a scale that suggests Rinriven Dai is involved. How many people could be moving that much cargo through a backwater like Daxum 4? Amaxians, the princess said thoughtfully. The lights from the control panel illuminated her from beneath in gold and green. How strange. Caught off guard, Joff said,
Wait, you've heard of them?
I've heard of the legend of the Amaxians. It's an old story. One my mother told me, dating back to the dawn of the Old Republic. Princess Leia's eyes gazed into an unseen distance. Supposedly, they were a warrior people, their entire culture based on battle. Instead of currency, they traded weapons for goods and services. The tale has it that they refused to make peace with the Old Republic, but knew they could never defeat such an enemy. So instead, they pointed their ships at the galaxy beyond ours and left forever, searching for yet another war to fight.
Which means they spent eternity wandering around in the void of space, Joff said. Who names themselves after those guys?
Not many people. Which is why I was able to track this down pretty quickly.
Greer punched a few buttons on her main monitor, and the green arc of their orbit above Hosnian Prime disappeared, replaced by a chart that looked like a cobweb. Numerous connections all leading toward one central point. He leaned over Greer's right shoulder as the princess leaned over the left, and Greer began tracing the paths with her finger.
There's no record of such a group, at least not in any public informational grid. However, I was able to track mentions of the word Amaxine above any typical count.
Fascinated as he was by this, Joff couldn't help asking,
How did you figure out a typical count for this one obscure word?
Greer sighed.
I asked 3PO.
Joff had only worked with the droid once, but he already knew that C-3PO would have searched exhaustively through months' worth of galactic communication just to answer Greer's question.
Okay then, the count's accurate.
The Amaxines, or Amaxine warriors, only get mentioned in a few specific areas. Certain worlds, mostly clustered in one section of the galaxy, had a much higher than average hit rate. And the world with the most hits of all was, you guessed it, Daxum 4.
Greer pointed her finger into the center of her holographic chart, the section of the web where the spider could be found. Do we have any information about these Amaxines? The senator folded her arms. Any mention of exactly what business they're operating that requires so much discretion?
Not much, Greer admitted. Apparently they pay enough to keep people's mouths shut. But from what I've gathered, they're a kind of local planetary militia.
Planetary militias weren't unusual. However, Joff knew it made no sense for Daxum 4 to have one. It wasn't a criminal target or bordered by known enemies. And the amount of money the Amaxines seemed to be collecting from Rinriven Dai, that was more than any militia could possibly need to defend a planet from raiders. Senator Organa said, What kind of world is Daxum 4? Joff could answer this one, but he waited for Greer to nod before he began.
Outer Rim, subarctic desert climate, still primarily self-reliant. They limit off-planet commerce, which is kind of weird, seeing as how it's a centrist planet. Usually, they're the ones who want everyone to be able to buy and sell everywhere. We could have picked up cargo there. We learned how to get those jobs. But we kind of figured that would take our mission from unauthorized to illegal.
You're learning caution, Sea Striker. Senator Organa smiled at him just for a moment.
Speaking of centrist worlds, Greer continued as she gestured at the chart. What do you want to bet almost every one of these planets has in common?
Joff's eyes widened.
These are all centrist worlds?
Not all, but most. The others are mostly neutral planets known to be major vectors in the spice trade.
Greer leaned back, obviously satisfied with her conclusions.
I think some centrist senators might just be taking kickbacks in return for hiding what looks like the biggest drug cartel of the past 20 years.
But the princess shook her head no. That's not what I sense. Joff frowned. Sense? What did that have to do with anything? He knew better than to ask out loud. Greer, however, seemed to understand.
Really? You don't think this is a centrist plot? That's the most obvious interpretation.
Which is why we can't afford to jump to conclusions now, Senator Organa continued, and she sounded logical again. We only have a small piece of the puzzle, so we can't assume we already see the solution. Besides, I don't trust a lot of the centrists, but most of their leaders are too stodgy to ever think about skimming money off the spice trade, if that's even what's happening here.
You'd be surprised what people will do for money, Greer said darkly.
She looked up from her chart to gaze through the transparency. The view beyond was the black of space above, pale atmosphere blue below. It was as if they were suspended between ground and sky. Not much surprises me. The princess frowned as she studied the chart again. This may be less a matter of shared political beliefs, more a matter of the Amaxine warriors being active only in this area of space.
So do we investigate there?
Joff couldn't wait for another mission. Maybe she'd say they could start today. Perhaps, but I want to get someone else's advice on this first, Senator Organa said. Greer gave her a look.
Do you mean Casterfo?
Joff wondered how that guy had moved so quickly from obstacle to ally. But apparently he had, because Princess Leia nodded and said, "He's the only centrist I trust at all. Besides, he's an up-and-comer in their faction. That means he has connections and influence on those worlds I don't, and he can ask questions without attracting as much attention as I would. Also, if he had anything to do with this, he wouldn't have jumped into that situation on Bastatha and nearly gotten us both killed."
"Just weird to hear you approving of a centrist," Greer said, but by now she was smiling. "Never thought I'd see the day."
Senator Organa sighed. "Honestly, neither did I." When Ransom Casterfo received Princess Leia's message, he quickly agreed to another meeting, and to her request that they meet off-site from the Senate. If he went to her office, that would mean signaling his lower rank. Such behavior was appropriate, but not conducive to the kind of partnership he hoped to build with Leia Organa.
"And obviously we'll never meet here again," he thought, as he looked around his office, smiling slightly at his newest acquisition, a TIE pilot's helmet in such good condition it still gleamed. "My collection agitates her past the point of reason."
Instead, they arranged to meet at the Hanging Gardens, one of the genuine delights Hosnian Prime had to offer. An enormous building of sandstone had been constructed in the shape of a staggered pyramid, each floor hollow in the center. It stood at the edges of the vast capital megalopolis, so visitors could enjoy the glittering skyline or the distant horizon, depending on where they sat. Beautiful plants of all varieties sprouted from boxes both inside and out, and on the inside, tall willowy trees grew, often blossoming into pale blue flowers. They received the light they needed from the ample spaces between each floor, which let the sun's rays slant through. The serenity within the Hanging Gardens contrasted with the activity outside, a constant swirl of low-flying air traffic.
"And that area down there?"
He pointed as he settled into the chair next to Princess Leia. His gesture took in a few dozen craft that hovered near the ground, positioned to get a good view of both the gardens and the sunset.
"I imagine that's where young lovers go when they claim to be somewhere else."
Princess Leia smiled down at them. But sadly, Ransom thought. She said, "They're taking time to be young. Good for them." At first he wasn't sure what to make of her melancholic mood. But when she showed him the data pad with Greer Sonnel's findings, Ransom thought he understood.
"You suspect a centrist conspiracy?"
"No. In fact, I'm almost sure that's not it." Princess Leia shook her head. "But I think that these Amaxine warriors, whoever they are, seem to be hiding out in centrist territory.
They're handling almost all the cargo going in or out of that planet, and the only person we know doing business there on a grand scale is Rinriven Dai. Ransom was pleasantly surprised by her measured, rational response. So many populists seized on any sliver of evidence, no matter how flimsy, for their implausible theories of corruption and scandal. However, he was beginning to learn that Princess Leia was her own person, one worth listening to.
Thank you for bringing this to me. You're quite right. The links to Daxam 4 cannot be mere coincidence. We must look into this right away.
Agreed. And you're better placed to do it than I am. You know what questions to ask and who to put the questions to.
I shall ask questions, Ransom promised. But I also intend to look into the matter personally.
Princess Leia grinned at him. The sunset painted her white gown nearly gold. I think you're developing a taste for action. He leaned forward, smiling conspiratorially.
You're a bad influence.
That made her laugh out loud. Do you know, that's the best compliment anyone has paid me in a long time.
Then you aren't being paid enough compliments.
Ransom decided to risk the next.
Of course, the populist candidate for First Senator could expect a great deal of flattery in the future.
She held up her hands as if she could ward off the election. Nothing's official, not even close. And please, let's concentrate on the matter at hand. I need a break from the Senate for a while. The princess was keeping her cards close, Ransom figured. After seeing how skillfully she played Sabacc, he should have anticipated as much.
Then I repeat my thanks. You've given me valuable information I can act on without delay. The incursion of such criminal elements threatens these worlds, and as you know, we centrists believe in law and order.
Do you ever, she said wryly, but her good humor seemed to have been restored.
I've actually just lent my support to a campaign to restore the death penalty on Ryosa. More systems are leaning toward it, you know.
More centrist systems, you mean?
Yes, he said. Most populists are too soft for such measures. But I've watched you strangle a hut to death with satisfaction. You're not one of the soft ones, Senator.
Two compliments in one day? If you're not careful, they'll throw you out of the centrists.
I'll take my chances.
He realized, somewhat to his surprise, that their meeting wasn't merely useful. When the princess wasn't being combative, she was enjoyable company. The Senate needed more cooperation between centrists and populists, and surely cooperation could be furthered by good relations, even by friendship. Ransom asked,
As long as we're here, shall we have dinner?
To judge by her raised eyebrows, the invitation was a surprise, but a pleasant one. She gestured to a nearby server droid. Why not? In quieter moments during their dinner, Leia tried to imagine Varish Vickley's consternation if she saw Senator Leia Organa willingly sharing a meal with the enemy. Her fur would probably spontaneously curl. Tylin Gar would take it quietly, but harder, shaking his head in sorrow. And the centrists? Oh, their reactions would be priceless. But there were few quiet moments. Leia found Ransom Casterfo surprisingly easy to talk to. He was intelligent, cultured, and even witty. Also, he was young enough that she didn't have to worry about any misunderstandings of the romantic variety. But not so young that she had to feel guilty about appreciating the view.
We're working hard to restore Ryosa as a galactic center of manufacturing, Casterfo said earnestly.
His aquamarine cloak turned his eyes an even more vivid shade of blue.
It's been difficult, of course, but with the new factories, the economy is finally taking an upward turn.
Leia wondered whether to chance her next question. She might shut Casterfo down completely, but she decided it was worth the risk. If she was to continue working with him, she had to get to the bottom of this. Ryosa's economy was wrecked by the Empire, wasn't it? That makes it hard for me to understand your, let's call it, fascination.
To her surprise, Castervo nodded.
Yes, we were wrecked. Deliberately, even maliciously.
Our factories and our people were pushed to the limit and beyond to manufacture components for both Death Star stations. And when we could supply them with nothing more, they cast us aside to starve. He took a sip of the pink juice they'd been served. My belief in an empire is not belief in the empire. It never could be. Not after what happened to my world. I guess I can't get around the contradiction. It's not a contradiction. Castervo remained silent a few moments, weighing his words. Dusk had fallen, and the ships zooming by were shooting stars in the cobalt blue of early night. You know, I assume, that the manufacturing efforts on Ryosa were often overseen by Lord Vader himself? Leia tensed. It seemed to her that she could hear that heavy, metallic breathing, as though the mere mention of his name had resurrected him. When she trusted herself to reply, she said, "No, I didn't know that." Vader visited Ryosa often. Each time, he tightened his fist even more. Castervo's gaze had turned distant. The quotas rose higher. The hours grew longer. What had been paid employment became mandatory service, then slavery in all but name. Workers with manufacturing experience were herded into labor camps with pitiful living conditions. Not enough food, only the bare minimum of shelter, and always, always more work. You could keep going until your fingers bled, and still, it wasn't enough. She stared at him in dawning comprehension. You were in one of those camps. Castervo breathed out sharply. Technically, yes. It was my parents who had the more wretched experience. My parents who were herded behind the camp walls to work themselves to the bone. He tried to laugh, but the sound came out strangled. Would you believe that bringing me with them was a special privilege my parents were given? That they were lucky to be allowed to bring their child to suffer by their side. Others had to leave their children behind to starvation or slavery or who knows what other torment. Leia had heard such stories from other worlds, other survivors. That didn't make it any easier to see Ransom Castervo struggling for control as he thought of his parents. She laid her hand on Castervo's forearm, hoping he would take it as comfort rather than pity. He didn't even notice. My parents survived the war, but only just. They'd been forced to work without proper safety filters. The toxicity in their lungs killed them both less than a year into the New Republic's rule. All because Lord Vader thought they could work harder. Castervo looked into Leia's eyes again, and he didn't even try to disguise the rawness of his pain. I believe in strong leadership by good men, but I know the damage evil men can do. I learned that from Darth Vader's example. I saw him cut down innocent people with my own eyes. So trust me when I say that I can admire the Empire's core structure and still condemn Palpatine, Vader, and all their works. I do. I trust you. What moved her as much as Castervo's story was the faith he had shown in her by telling it. What happened after? Castervo took a deep breath, then smiled as if he'd entirely thrown off his dark mood. He hadn't, but he was making a valiant effort. I had a rough few years, but then I was taken in by a couple that had some off-world wealth. They didn't exactly adopt me as a son, though I was one of several children they housed, fed, and educated. But for them, I might have starved. No wonder you got angry when I called you spoiled, Leia said. I'm truly sorry. You didn't know. Whereas I did know about Alderaan, and I threw the insult back at you anyway. It wasn't our finest hour. Let's leave it at that. He lifted his glass for another draft of the juice, then saw it was empty. A droid zipped over immediately. Did you ever see Darth Vader with your own eyes? I suppose in the Galactic Senate you must have.
Yes, I did.
Casterfo frowned. Princess Leia?
He had dared to tell her his most painful truth. She could never reveal hers. Not to anyone who didn't already know. Leia understood that. But perhaps she could find the courage to match his honesty with a measure of her own. At the beginning of the war against the Empire, just as the Imperial Senate was dissolved, she swallowed hard. My ship was captured by the Devastator. That was Darth Vader's flagship at the time. He personally brought me to the Death Star where he questioned me. Comprehension dawned in Casterfo's eyes.
You mean... Just say it.
I mean he tortured me for hours, while a couple of his Imperial stormtroopers watched. Sometimes that got to her when nothing else did. The troopers had been soldiers of the line. Some of them had honestly believed they were doing the right thing, or so she told herself. But how could you believe that after you watched a 19-year-old girl writhing on the floor and screaming for mercy that never came? How could you stand there and watch that girl convulse in helpless agony without doing something, anything to help? Apparently, some people could. Then he brought me to witness Alderaan's destruction. Vader's hand gripped my shoulder just after I watched my planet die. He made me suffer in every way a human being can suffer. All for the love of the Emperor. Casterfo slipped his arm from under her hand. She had gone utterly motionless, and grasped her fingers in his. As old as she was, as cynical as she'd become, Leia would never have guessed that such a gesture could still move her. But it did.
I hated him so much,
she whispered. The breeze blew past them, rustling the blue blossom trees within the hanging gardens. It was as if they were helping to hide her painful words. Sometimes I felt as if the only thing that kept me going in the aftermath of Alderaan was the strength of my hatred for Vader.
For my father.
As always when Leia thought about this, she called upon what Luke had told her of their father's last hours. He had renounced darkness, saved Luke, and become Anakin Skywalker again. Whenever Luke told the story, a beatific smile lit up his face. His memories of that event gave him a level of comfort and even joy that sustained him.
Those were memories Leia couldn't share. Then we have that in common, Casterfo said. We both know what a monster Lord Vader was, and we have no desire to see his like gain power in the galaxy ever again. But you think he will emerge from order, while I think he will emerge from chaos.
Leia couldn't muster the nerve for another debate.
Let's hope we never find out.
Hear, hear.
They let go of each other at the same moment and leaned back. But Leia knew the connection they'd forged wouldn't be broken that quickly. Only a few short hours before, Ransom Casterfo had been her uneasy ally. Now, for better or for worse, they had become friends. When the server droid rolled by them again, Casterfo snagged two glasses of Corellian ale for them without asking whether Leia wanted one. It seemed he had the good sense to know she needed it. After the first couple of sips and too many moments of silence, Leia decided to change the subject. Awkward, but surely any topic of conversation had to be more pleasant than Vader's evils. Any bets as to who the centrist candidate will be? Casterfo shook his head.
There are a dozen possibilities at least, Senator.
I think we're on a first-name basis by now, aren't we, Ransom? He acknowledged this with a quick nod.
As I was saying, Leia, at least a dozen potential nominees so far, and more may arise.
Who knows? She managed to smile. You might wind up voting for me yet.
I'll vote with my party, of course. But I'll say this much. You're the only populist I'd ever trust with the job.
Too bad Ryosa isn't a more influential world, Leia said. I'd feel a lot better if you were the centrist candidate. Ransom tried not to smile, but the result only made him look mischievous.
That makes two of us.
I think we can drink to that, Leia said. They lifted their glasses and clinked them together, and the darkness in their pasts seemed farther away than it had before.
Chapter 13. The next morning, Leia wondered whether she'd had too much of the ale. But she hadn't. Her weariness and bad mood were the natural result of reliving memories so dark she rarely allowed herself to think of them, much less speak them aloud. "Think of your conversation with Casterfo as practice," she told herself. One day, she would have to reveal all this to her son. The truth of Vader's identity had shattered her. She could not imagine what it might mean to Ben. At least Luke could tell Ben the most important part, that Vader had in the end been redeemed. Anakin Skywalker had returned. The dark side had been defeated by the light. Leia knew this. She believed it. But she still did not understand it.
"You're unusually quiet this morning," said Tylin Gar, who walked with her across the grounds of the senatorial complex. "And not in high spirits, I think."
Grumpy. In a bad mood, that's all." She cast about for a plausible reason and found one in the early hour. What kind of sadist plans a meeting at breakfast? Tai Lin, ever patient, shook his head fondly.
"You've never been one to mind early hours. And you know how busy our schedules are."
"If the alternative is a breakfast meeting, I can find the time." Leia took a deep breath and tried to let it go. "Well, if I do wind up becoming First Senator, I know the first thing I'm going to outlaw." Chuckling, Tai Lin said,
"You'll change your tune when we sit down to eat and you get a little calf in you."
"Calf usually helps," she agreed. Tai Lin Gar had been inaugurated into the first Senate of the New Republic alongside Leia. He was one of only a handful who had served from then to now. Although he possessed the preternatural calm of most people from Gatalenta, in Tai Lin, that serenity was anchored even more deeply. In all these years, Leia wasn't certain she had ever heard him raise his voice, despite the ample reason centrist politicians had given him. He was an attractive man, only a year or two younger than herself, with only the temples of his black hair turning silver. In the distinctive scarlet robes of his planet, he cut a striking figure. A figure one could imagine in, say, a campaign hollow. "You know, there's still time for you to try for the nomination yourself," Leia ventured. "You'd make a better first senator than I ever would." He shook his head.
"Let's be realistic. You are the only populist candidate who could win, and if you lose, this entire experiment is doomed to disaster."
Leia paused, and he stopped alongside her. They stood in the middle of the complex square, amid an intricate pattern of tiles in blue and white, as if it were the board for a game of strategy. Doomed? Even with another populist as first senator? Tai Lin nodded, his expression grave.
"The centrists are forced to respect you because of your role in the war. Even then, they'll be intransigent. They'll fight every step you try to take. But at least we'll have some modicum of civility. You'll be able to push some things through. With anyone else in the position, we'll be even more deadlocked than we are now."
As little as Leia thought of the concept of a first senator, she couldn't believe she was the only one with any chance of making the role effective. Yes, the centrists could be difficult, but so could the populists, and the centrists would at least respect the idea of a hierarchy. "He's basically declaring that galactic-level politics can't work," she realized. Uneasiness stirred within her. If too many populist senators agree with him, it's going to become a self-fulfilling prophecy. Tai Lin clasped his hands in front of him and stepped closer just as a few civilian vessels sliced through the sky above them, as if he wanted the silvery sound of their engines to conceal his words.
"Leia, you don't intend to drop out of the race. If you abandon the populist cause..."
"I'm not dropping out." Technically, she wasn't even officially in the race yet, but it made no difference. Leia thought again of her dreams of flying around the galaxy with Han, without responsibilities or cares, with all the time in the worlds. But before all this, I had been seriously considering retiring. I've wanted to spend more time with my family.
Of course.
Tai Lin inclined his head.
You would wish to join your brother and son, I imagine.
I miss them, yes. Still, I imagined living with my husband again. It's been a while since we were together, more than half the year. Tai Lin hesitated before he came closer.
There's something I've been meaning to ask you for a long time. And finally, I feel I know you well enough to dare. If I overstep my bounds, please, tell me.
Uh-oh, Leia thought. Was this some kind of romantic overture? Surely not. She seemed to have a case of paranoia this morning. But she understood why an outside observer might believe she was available, which was proof Han had definitely been gone too long. I'll tell you, Tai Lin. Go ahead and ask me.
Did you never consider following in your brother's path and becoming a Jedi?
Leia found herself caught short. Why do you ask?
They say on my world that the Force sometimes runs strong in certain families.
So much of the lore of the Jedi had been lost, but on Gatalenta the old religion had remained strong. History had become legend, but some of the legends were still told. Gatalenta had been one of Luke's first destinations when he began his research into the Jedi Knights of old. Tai Lin continued,
If that is true, then you might have the potential just like your brother.
And my son, she thought, but did not say.
If you have that ability, then I cannot imagine why you would not become a Jedi as well,
Tai Lin finished.
Surely I've known few people who would make a finer Jedi Knight than you.
Leia inclined her head in gratitude for the compliment, but she could not answer right away because she could not tell the full truth. The Force was too important a subject to be shared lightly, even with Tai Lin, her ally and friend. Her safe, sensible, and, as far as it went, honest reply? My duty has always been here, in the work of creating a new and better government. He sighed as if in regret.
You alone can determine your rightful destiny.
Could she? To Leia, it felt as if her destiny had been out of her hands for a long time. Together, they walked the rest of the way to the conference building in silence, broken only by the cries of migrating snowbirds overhead and the murmurs of the ever-increasing foot traffic around the Senate complex as staffers arrived for the day. Somewhere, probably not far away, Greer and Corey would be arriving. C-3PO was probably already in the office, happily sorting communiques. Bail Organa's statue sparkled translucent in the sunlight, watching over her. The pleasant weather and bright sky made Leia feel as if she might have enjoyed the morning, if it weren't for the breakfast meeting. And Tai Lin's probing questions about her past. And the memories stirred up by her conversation with Ransom the evening before. Maybe they were to blame for the increasing sense of dread welling inside her. I need calf, Leia thought. Everything else she would deal with later. The conference building of the New Republic Senatorial Complex contained multiple rooms appropriate for every kind of auxiliary function imaginable, from memorial concerts to award ceremonies. Leia and Tai Lin headed toward one of the smallest banquet rooms. The breakfast meeting had been organized by Varish Vickley, who couldn't imagine a bad time for a party. Varish came loping toward them now on all fours.
There you are. I was worried you'd be late.
We're still early, Leia protested, as both she and Tai Lin were wrapped in quick, long-limbed hugs.
Yes, but I worry. You know how they get.
They meant prominent representatives of both the far-left and far-right branches of the populist faction. The far-right branches wanted to dissolve the Senate so each world would again become a totally separate entity, The far left hoped to open voting to the general populace so that instead of thousands of senators refusing to agree, they could have countless citizens refusing to agree. The only thing these senators had in common was, it seemed, a willingness to support Leia's candidacy for first senator.
"Now come along and be introduced to everyone,"
Varish insisted. Soon, Leia found herself shaking hands and paws, murmuring greetings. Thanks to some review hollows Corey had prepared for her, she recognized each senator in attendance and could even ask a few pertinent questions about their families and worlds. In other words, Leia thought as she listened to someone cheerfully talk about his grandchildren, this is going wonderfully for everyone but me. Though not until now had she realized how much she dreaded her candidacy. Or maybe just discussing her candidacy. Whatever it was that made her so ill at ease. They entered the banquet hall together, the entire group walking two by two. Leia knew the seat at the far end of the table would be hers, guest of honor as counterpart to the host. So she walked the length of the room, attentive to the senator at her side, before glancing down at the arrangements. Sumptuous, even by Varish's standards, with a velvet runner stretching along the table and delicate paper streamers lying across the tables beneath elaborately folded napkins. Leia had to laugh. "Honestly, Varish, for breakfast?" This one good-natured chuckles from the room. Varish Vickley's lavish tastes were well known, a foible she herself joked about. Today, however, she shrugged.
"I didn't request this. Maybe the serving staff heard my name and assumed that meant to go all out for glamour."
Varish smiled as she took her seat.
"If that's my reputation, you know, I can live with it."
Leia settled into her chair, picked up her napkin, and stopped. Something was written on the paper streamer on her plate. Actual writing. Virtually nobody wrote any longer. It had been years since Leia had seen actual words handwritten in ink on anything but historical documents. But today, someone had left this message on her plate. Only one word long. Run. Leia shoved her chair back, instantly leaping to her feet. "We have to get out of here," she said to the startled senators at the table. "Now, go!" But they didn't move, even as she dashed toward the door. Varish said,
"Leia? What in the world?"
"Didn't you hear me?" These fools who had never been in the war, who didn't know an urgent warning when they got one. Leia held up the paper so they could see it. "Run! Everyone, get up and run!" With that, she took off, running as fast as she could, finally hearing the others stir behind her. Maybe they thought the note was only a prank, but Leia knew better. The inchoate dread that had swirled inside her all morning had solidified. This was what her feelings had been warning her about. As they dashed through the hallways of the conference building, Leia glimpsed an alert panel and swerved sideways to hit it. A robotic voice said,
"No detected hazards at this..."
"Override! Evacuation alert now!" Leia resumed running just as the warning lights began to blink and the siren's wail sounded. Immediately, people began filing out of various other rooms, mostly grumbling, but at least moving toward the exits. And when they saw her, they too started to run. A sense of urgency built behind her like a wave cresting, preparing to crash. Leia's breath caught in her throat as she pushed herself harder, running full out toward the doors, so fast they almost didn't have time to open for her. In the square beyond, security droids had begun herding people away from the building, but too many continued to mill around, staring in consternation at the scene. The others evacuating flooded through the doors behind and around her, but once they were clear of the structure, half of them stopped, remaining stupidly within range. Within range of what? She still didn't know. But every instinct within her, the Force itself, screamed that disaster was near. Leia didn't stop. She kept running as hard as she could, never looking back until... brilliant light. A roar so loud it resonated in her skull. And hot air and debris slamming into her, knocking her down, rolling her over, erasing the world. Greer knew only that in one moment, she was walking through the Senate grounds not far from the conference hall, Corey by her side, trying to come up with an excuse to cover her afternoon trip to the medbay, and in the next, she lay dazed amid smoldering debris, her thoughts fuzzy and her body aching. What the? She sat up, but too quickly, and her head whirled. Greer put one hand to her forehead, took a couple of deep breaths, and forced the collage of devastation around her to make sense. Half of the senatorial conference building had vanished, leaving rubble behind. The other half smoked ominously, stained black. All around her, people either lay on the ground or stumbled around, nursing injuries. Skin, scales, and fur were all marked with blood. The acrid smell in her nostrils testified to the explosives that had been used. Somebody bombed the Senate building, Greer thought. That first moment of concrete knowledge snapped her brain back into focus. Greer looked around, searching for a glimpse of the spring green robe Corey had been wearing. Corey? Can you hear me? Corey?
You're okay!
Greer turned to see Corey hurrying up to her, curly hair disheveled and gown torn, but otherwise all right.
I couldn't see you for a second. It was like the explosion stole all the light for a moment. The world went blank, and then it was turned upside down.
Corey's voice cracked in a sob. She was still only a girl. Greer took her hand, hoping to provide some comfort. But she saw then that she'd lost a fingernail, ripped out at the root, and the blood trickling onto Corey wasn't helping at all. A triage droid zipped through the air, dropping down to hover just beside Corey, extending a scanner bar. Blue rays swept over Greer's body.
Mild concussion without internal bleeding. Negative for broken bones. External injuries and pre-existing medical conditions only. Non-critical.
It scanned Corey next, finding nothing even worth reporting aloud. After that, it took off, searching for someone more badly hurt.
Help me up, Greer croaked.
Corey slid one of Greer's arms over her shoulder and got them both back on their feet. Now that Greer could see more of her surroundings, the full impact of the disaster hit her. Although security staff and med droids moved through the crowd with urgency and purpose, dozens, if not hundreds, of people had to be injured, and they lay amid an enormous scene of devastation.
The breakfast meeting!
Corey swallowed hard.
Princess Leia was in there when it blew!
Greer's whole body turned cold, save for the one finger hot with flowing blood.
We have to find her. Now! Go get someone to help us search. Joff Seastriker, maybe. The barracks would have been out of range.
Greer! Everyone's already looking!
Of course the troops would have been called in immediately. But she couldn't sit by and do nothing.
Not everyone is looking, because we're not looking. I don't care if we have to go through this brick by brick. We find Princess Leia.
Corey nodded. Having a concrete task to perform helped. Within another minute, Greer could stand on her own. Her dark blue tunic and skirt had been shredded by debris, rips and tears revealing the skin of her belly and thighs. Grayish-white dust coated her hair so thickly that every turn of her head shook forth a few more flakes. But she kept going, checking out each injured person, summoning med droids where needed, ignoring her own dizziness. She wouldn't stop until she found Princess Leia and made sure she was all right. Greer refused to consider any other possibility. As she went, she recognized other people she knew. Count Jogurner's chief of staff, blood staining her white blonde hair as Dr. Colonia helped her to stand. Andrithal Rob Vody of Terrace, leaning against an intact wall in a daze. Ransom Casterfo, helping a wounded Togruta woman toward the med center. Zigley Bruss of Candavant, being lifted onto a stretcher. This was unquestionably the single biggest attack on the government since the final battles with the last surviving ships of the Empire more than 20 years before. It was Corey who finally called, "Over here!" Greer turned to see Princess Leia getting to her feet at the far edge of the square, one hand in Corey's, the other at her temple as though her head hurt badly. Greer limped to their side, only to have Princess Leia immediately embrace her. "Thank goodness," the princess said. She sounded as though she had been screaming or crying. Terror and the ash in the air were stealing all their voices. "I was so worried about you both. What happened?" Greer didn't expect Princess Leia to know, but her mind kept returning to the question, worrying it over and over, as if this time an answer would come. Who would have wanted to destroy the building? Princess Leia's gaze turned upward, toward the statue of Bail Organa. Despite the sunlight, it showed as gray due to the coating of soot and dust, and his outstretched hand had been broken off halfway to the elbow. Greer realized she could see the shattered fingers lying amid the rest of the debris. The princess said, "This bomb destroyed something far more important than a building. It may have destroyed the Senate itself." Who could have done this? Greer thought. Too many candidates sprang to mind. Organized crime, whether minions of Rinriven die, or a desperate attempt by the Hutts to reclaim their former power. Extreme populist factions angry that the Galactic Senate even existed. Centrist radicals attempting to create a climate of fear that would justify their grab at absolute authority. Some wild-eyed loner with a grievance no rational person could ever understand. She was sure of only one thing. As soon as the immediate shock had dissipated, accusations would fly in every direction. The Senate's torpor would inflame into turmoil, and the fate of the galaxy itself could follow. Chapter 14. Leia refused to accept a healing treatment for her concussion until everyone more seriously injured had been attended to. At one point, Dr. Colonia told her to stop acting so noble and get help already, but nobility had nothing to do with it. Healing treatments usually included sedatives, which meant she'd pass out within an hour of receiving one and probably not wake for at least half a day. Leia wanted to remain clear-headed as she tried to comprehend what had happened. First thing, she recorded a voice-only message for Han, telling him that she was all right and that he didn't have to come to Hosnian Prime on her account. Although she would have taken comfort in his company, she also knew that as soon as she was able, she had to get to the bottom of who was responsible for this bombing. There would be no time left for sentimental reunions. To her amazement and gratitude, no one appeared to have been killed. Although a few hundred people had been injured, some seriously, the med droids reported that nobody was in critical condition. But there certainly would have been a death toll. A high one, if not for the warning Leia had received. The paper streamer had still been clutched in her hand when she came to, and she had given it to a security supervisor as soon as she found one after the explosion. Run. Obviously, it had to have been planted by someone who knew about the bomb, presumably the bombers themselves or a mole in their organization. There were reasons to plant a bomb and ensure it only did property damage. Normally, Leia knew, this was the act of a terrorist organization seeking respectability, or at least propaganda value. Such bombings were intended to demonstrate both lethal power and respect for life, however disingenuous. But no one had claimed responsibility, a necessary element for propaganda purposes. This crime remained anonymous and bewildering.
"Tomorrow, maybe," Greer said, as they finally took their turn in the med center.
Her hand rested in a shallow dish of Bacta, just enough to allow her fingernail to regrow. She'd been given a round of serum injections first thing.
We'll probably get a message claiming responsibility tonight or tomorrow.
Leia, meanwhile, had stripped down to her basics and already sat at the top of the tank, breathing apparatus in her hands. I don't think so,